Under the Sun on WLRN tells the stories of South Florida. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. This summer marks 20 years since Hurricane Andrew, and each week we're bringing you stories in our Remembering Andrew series. After Hurricane Andrew, people from all over the country just wanted to help. Some of them traveled here themselves, and others sent stuff. Most of it was useful and necessary, but some of it, well, let's just say it was the end of August, and someone sent a box of sweaters. Back then, reporter Rick Stone was working for the public radio station WUSF in Tampa. When he arrived here to cover the story, he found a road to hell, paved with good intentions.
In South Dade County today, electricity
Sunday, August 30th. I'd been in Miami since the day after Andrew hit, and I'd already filed a bunch of stories. Almost every one had somebody in it describing a terrible loss through tears. This woman had just reunited her scattered family and brought them home, but home, now, was just a single standing wall.
I said, God, take everything I have, but just leave my family here. Don't take none of my loved ones, because that's all I have. And he did it. He took my house and he left my family.
A lot of people were addressing God that Sunday. I'd been in a church service that morning, somewhere in Kendall. The steamy, unlit sanctuary was full of strangers, the minister explained, because he believed it was the only intact church in the hurricane zone.
I went by Wayside Baptist Church, it's gone. I went out here to Glendale Baptist Church, it's gone. God protected our church. Let us reach out to other people and help them.
I was one of thousands of reporters covering Andrew's stories of disaster and heartbreak, and clearly our audience was moved.
This is a panel truck full of food, water, baby goods, and hygiene products, most of it collected by churches in Central Florida.
This is me on that day, about to embed myself in an unofficial relief mission. You see, help is now pouring into the region. Most of it is food, water, tents, portable field kitchens, all flown in by the military. But a lot of it is this sort of thing. Volunteers in trucks, financed and organized by compassionate amateurs, and the plan is ambitious.
Pastor Eddie Hernandez hopes to lead the group into far south Dade County to the farm worker camps where, as far as he knows, no relief efforts have penetrated so far.
Our focus is the migrants because they can't come to where all the city is. They can't come where, you know, all the aid is. They are huddled up in those areas. And
then from the parking lot of a blown-out tire store somewhere along U.S. 1, off we go, southbound through very heavy traffic. Most of it, other relief trucks, also headed south for the migrant camps. People wanted to help from afar, too. Journalist Rick Iredam chronicled the hurricane aftermath in a book called When Natural Disaster Strikes, Lessons from Hurricane Andrew.
People did just empty out their closet. They get a bowling ball, they get ice skates, you know, they get cashmere sweaters and tuxedos and, you know, what is this stuff? You know, well, it's just people just donated it. You know?
And those who did come in person sometimes shouldn't have. There was an influx of firefighters. But here, says Iredam, there was no call for their skills and no place for them to stay.
So these people now join the ranks of the homeless. They were living in the tent cities. They were eating the food that was generously donated for the victims and had really become part of the problem because there weren't any fires. There wasn't people that had to be dug out of piles of rubble.
There are people who haven't been found yet, or that's what the pastors and volunteers in our seven-truck convoy think as we continue south in search of the migrant labor camps. The hurricane has changed the landscape so much, not even the local guides know where they're going.
It turns out that we've
been driving through migrant
settlements
all
along without realizing it, and that the settlements, mostly blown-out trailer parks, are pretty well stocked already with food, water, and toilet paper. Pastor Eddie has lost some of his good spirits by now.
I'm about to talk with some of the other pastors and tell them that we're losing our focus and see how that goes.
Now the convoy turns east and heads for U.S. 1, which cuts through the heart of the worst damage. The new plan is to forget the migrants for now and just to distribute what we can in the community of Leisure City. We drive for another
Elaine
hour.
Elam came up from Key Largo to volunteer. She ran a local ambulance business. She had paramedic skills, and she knew how to manage and organize. When she arrived at a makeshift medical relief station in one of Florida City's remaining buildings, Elaine, whose last name was Gorman back then, was welcomed.
When I came in and said, you know, is there anything we can do? What do you need? I said, you know, who's in charge of your medical here? they kind of just hemmed and hawed and said, well, nobody is, but you are now.
The problems began immediately.
Everything turned into a catch-22.
Portable toilets, for instance. It took days of effort to get 100 portable toilets to a nearby migrant camp.
Then nobody was in charge of cleaning them. So instead of being the solution, they became the problem because now we had raw sewage right near the food and water areas.
Meanwhile, the Farm Worker Relief Mission is having its own problems. We're headed for a place called Leisure City, which is supposed to be about 3 miles north along US 1.
10 miles north, we pull over again, this time in what appears to have been a shopping center. It is evident that no one knows where Leisure City is and that our mission is becoming a fiasco.
This is not exactly the way that I like to see things happen. And all we did was do a scenic tour. I didn't come for a scenic tour.
Doctors thought they could help. All kinds of doctors, recalls writer Rick Iredam, including 19 retired military combat surgeons, all traveling south in a Winnebago.
They said, well, we're from the Korean Physicians Veterans Association. We're coming down there to save lives.
The Korean War began in 1950.
They were a bunch of old, really old guys, you know, retired physicians.
They had heard the CNN report and just decided that they were going to come down and help out because they were certain that they were needed, and they couldn't be dissuaded.
The Korean War doctors disappeared into the community of makeshift street corner clinics, all manned by volunteer doctors and not exactly doctors.
We knew that we had at least two instances of vets actually providing care.
Not veterans this time, veterinarians.
But they were stitching people up. And they did fill a need.
Back on the road, what remains of our relief mission for the farm workers presses fecklessly on. In 6 hours, we've traveled maybe 12 miles. Six of our seven trucks have either bailed or gotten lost. I follow the remaining truck as it turns off the highway into the isolated community of Goulds.
Here we find some of the worst scenes of the day, and at last, some demand for the stuff that we brought.
Can I get some soda, please?
The air in Goulds is heavy with the smell of rotting food, open sewage, the decaying bodies of dead animals, and wood smoke. There's no power here, and the people tell us they've been burning their furniture and street bonfires for the light. And it appears that 5 days after the hurricane, we are the first relief to arrive.
Nobody's been in here to see you yet.
They've been like up farther in Homestead, but in Goulds area, South Mem Heights area, North Carolina, ain't nobody been nowhere to see about us.
So some of our help reached some of the needy, and who knows what happened to the rest. But if you're wondering why disaster charities now say just send money, this could be why. They remember Hurricane Andrew and the calamity of good intentions. I'm Rick Stone in Miami.
You can hear Rick's original reports from the days after Hurricane Andrew at WLRNunderthesun.org. And we really want to know how Andrew changed your life and South Florida. So please tell us at WLRNunderthesun.org. I'm Alicia Zuckerman.
Support for Remembering Andrew on WLRN comes from Best Roofing, South Florida's forensic roof specialists, diagnosing and correcting commercial roof problems for over 35 years. Information at 954-941-9111 or bestroofing.net.